This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled Worship as a Lifestyle, was delivered on January 27th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Amy. And we do miss John, but you're awesome. Good morning, everybody. You know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been coming up here and leading worship, and it just seems like long time I never talk to you guys from up here. Long time I never do a message, and that's true. I haven't spoken to you guys in all year. So I finally get to do a message in 2019, and I'm so glad. You know, last year was kind of tough on me because I had to speak so much. And the reason for that, and you can tell him I said this, but I'm very mad with Pastor Jaywin for leaving us, because when I already saw when he was leaving us to go serve at the Pahoa Church, I already knew I would have 12 messages in the year, because that's how we split them apart, yeah? We give Pastor Scott speaks for about 40 messages a year, and then we take 12 from him to give him a break. So I give the guy credit. I actually did only 10 last year, and that was a heavy load for me. Like, I do 40, four times more. So love on you, Pastor, in that, okay? But yeah, so mad with Pastor Jaywin, and I let him know that. This year, I'm a little bit less mad with him, because Brother John Brown and Chaplain Frank Castanetti has stepped up, so I only have to do 6 this year. They're taking 6 off of my plate, and even Chaplain Frank this morning said, you know, if you want, I'll take some more. And I'm thinking about giving him some. I told him, no, you go and save that for Pastor Scott. If he needs a break, you step in, and he always does. But it's wonderful. I get to do the message this morning, first one again of 2019. It's always an honor that we get to do these things. But one of the things that I am not good at doing is a lot of things at once, or a lot of things at a time. I'm not like that. Many pastors, you'll see them, they'll come up, they'll lead worship, they'll do the announcements and offering, they'll do a special, and then they do the message. Now, I'm not like that. If you ask me to do those things, by the time I get to the message, I'm done. I'm sitting down, and I'll just say, well, that was the message for today. But I'm not like that. So I am very, very grateful that I have a worship team who is willing to step in and cover for me when I get to present the message. And weren't they good this morning? How about that? How about that version, reggae version of We Want to See Jesus Lifted High? You know, when I came in this morning, because I get to come in a little bit later when I do the messages, when I walked in, they were in the middle of practicing that one, and you should have seen their eyes get big, thinking they were in trouble, until they saw my head start bouncing. Yeah, yeah, man. I love it that they got to change it up, and I'm really grateful for them to have a team that understands how I optimally operate, my optimal ability, and gives me the break to actually concentrate on doing what I get to do today. Now, I still remember the day, a little over 2 years ago now, that Pastor Scott texted me, and he asked me to come meet with him at the office if I wasn't busy that day. He said that he had something very important that he wanted to discuss with me. And of course, when Pastor Scott does that, automatically I think, oh man. And I'm looking and I'm thinking and seeing all of your faces and thinking, okay, which one of them did I offend? And I gotta be in trouble. But I was free that day, so I said, I can meet you in about 15 minutes. And he said, right on, come on in. So I get there and I walk into his office and he says, have a seat. Oh boy. And then he says the one thing we all dread, let's pray. Now I know I'm really in trouble and I cannot concentrate. I hear him praying and I just hear, Lord, let your will be done. And then he looks up and he says, this is what I have to ask you. And it was worse than anything I thought, because he said, the council and I have been praying, and we want you to oversee the worship team. And I just paused for a moment to look at his face because I thought he was joking. Because if you know anything about me, I have, other than being able to sing, I have zero musical talent. Not that I haven't tried. I've tried every instrument that there is, and it just doesn't stick with me. I can't tell you what chord we're in. The changes in when music and we modulate and all those things, I cannot tell you what's going on. That's how unmusically talented I am, and I have an excuse for that. You see, my brother is incredible. He's an incredible musician. He's got a voice. He can make sounds that just are off the charts, just don't make sense. He can pick up an instrument that he has never seen, and in 15 minutes, he'll know how to play at least the basic songs of it. That's how incredibly talented he is, okay? And he's older than me. So when he was in the womb, he sucked all the musical talent out and left none for me. So that's my excuse. But I'm better looking and smarter, so it's okay. So when Pastor Scott asked me that, you know, I thought he was joking. And then after a while, I said, "You serious? You really want, I come up here and sing, but to lead the team, to do all the music and all that, you know I'm not the guy for that." And he said, "No, we prayed about it, and we believe that God said you're the guy." I said, "Okay." You see, I trust Pastor Scott. I've known him. I've walked with him in all kinds of situations. When he says he's prayed about something, he has, and he's heard God. So how can I deny that? If I fight against him, I'm fighting God. So you know what I told him? I told him, "Let me pray about it." And I did, and I really felt it on my heart that God was saying, "Yeah, you come on board and you do this." So we talked about it. I was going to do it part-time. And I tell you, was a struggle. How am I going to do all these things? But you see, God knows what he's doing. See, he didn't call me up here to make the music, because I got the team. He built the team for that. And everybody covers for me in that. Like the musicians, they know how untalented I am. They step in. When there's a chord change that needs to be made, they're way ahead of me on it. They text me the week before, "Hey, you would sing better in this chord." Oh, I'm so grateful for that. And the other singers, same thing. They cover where I am weak. God has given me people who are strong. And we make a wonderful, wonderful team in that. And I'm watching the team this morning, and I'm just thinking, man, I don't deserve this. God, you are so good, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this. Now, I'm telling you this because I get to talk about worship this morning. And there's actually so much more. What God told me is that there's so much more to worship than just singing. But you get to be a part of it in this way. Now, I got to get something off my chest, okay? Something that I've been kind of like hiding and downplaying, but not really, but I just want you to know it so that I don't have to worry about it anymore, okay? When I'm up here leading worship, You follow where I lead, right? Okay. The truth is, I have never led worship one day in this church. And the reason is because Kahia and Diane actually lead. Anybody who is musically talented knows this for sure. I don't know when to change or when the chord's going to change and all that, but they do. So I watch for the cues, their body language and all that. Okay. So now you know the truth. And I'm off the hook on that one. So you can watch me, but just know that I'm watching them, okay? But like I said, we get to do this every Sunday, and we do it with purpose. The purpose of that, in our culture, the Hawaiian culture, music was a very, very important part. Music was a whole lot of their communication, and it still lingers on today. That music is a big part of what we do here. That's why we start off our service in singing and lifting our voices unto God in this thing that we call worship. I heard somebody say this morning, is this the worship part? And they were all excited when the music started. But again, what we need to really, really know is that there is so much more to worship than the 20 minutes that we do singing songs on a Sunday morning. And I will never forget, like many churches have done before, that what we do up here for those 20 or 30 minutes on Sunday morning is only a very minute component of what worship really is. Because you see, worship is not one thing. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a whole lot of things put together. If you look up the word lifestyle in the dictionary, you'll find this. Lifestyle, a way of life or style of living that reflects the attitudes and values of a person or a group. See, worship is not just about singing or music. It's so much more. And worship is not a Sunday thing. It's a Monday through Sunday thing. It's not dependent upon location or environment. Worship is not a spiritual high or a feeling. Worship is not a compartment of my life. Worship is my life. So you might be asking yourself this question right now. So why do I feel God move so mightily when I'm here in church and not while I'm at work? Why do I feel his supernatural presence down in the depths of my very being when we're singing our worship songs so much more than when I'm at home? Why do I know that my God is so awesome and wonderful and so worthy on Sunday during worship service more than any other time of the week? And the reason for that is so simple. And it's because we purpose ourselves to worship in this time frame. We give God top priority for these 70 minutes or so. And we do it passionately. So passionately. We pour out our hearts and our souls with our voices all in one accord. And I want you to know, we sound good doing it. And when we mix these two factors together, passion and purpose, and we use it to give God glory, you know what happens? He comes into our presence. He comes to receive that worship. And I need you to understand something very important. And it's this, that you and I were made to worship. We were created to worship. God did that when he created the first man, put that breath, his DNA, into the pottery of what he called man. He was creating us to do the one thing that he couldn't do himself. You see, God can have everything. Just with a word, he can create anything. But there is one thing that he cannot have, and you know what it is? It's adoration. It's love. And put those two things together, what do you have? You have worship. That's what he created us to do. Not in the sense that bow down to me and grovel at my feet, but in the sense that, Lord, I know how good you are and how awesome you are, and I love being a part of what you're doing. I love that you love me. That kind of worship. That's what we were created to do. And the truth is that because we were created, designed like that, that no matter what we do, we are worshiping. In every thought, in every action, with every breath, we are worshiping something. The question is, what are we worshiping? And the answer? We worship whatever or whoever we passionately purpose to bring pleasure to. Let me say that again. We worship whatever or whoever we passionately purpose to bring pleasure to. Now listen carefully. If we are passionately purposing ourselves to give the Almighty Creator pleasure for only 70 minutes one day a week, then what are we worshiping the rest of the week? I hope that we all realize that that would cover less than 1% of our whole week. That's like a penny on the dollar, and it ain't much. And I know that that isn't what God had in mind. He meant for us to be full-time worshipers, where He would be with us full-time because it brings Him pleasure to be in our presence. Let me show you what I mean. Through Christ's example in the book of John, chapter 8, He makes this life-defining statement where He says, "The one who sent me stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. He sees how much joy I take in pleasing Him." Now catch something here. Then nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus was a great singer. And in only one account does it actually allude to the fact that He even sang His praise at all. Yet, He is our greatest example of worship, of a worshiper. So much so that He could make this kind of claim, that God was always with Him, never left Him, because of how He passionately purposed to bring God pleasure. And not just with song, but with all of His life. See, in everything that He did, every minute of the day, every day of the week, with all that He had and with all that He was, Jesus purposed to bring the Father good pleasure. That was His lifestyle. And catch something else. Jesus' lifestyle of worship was not based on religion. It was based on His relationship with the Father. And it wasn't something that He was forced to do. It was something He was honored to do. You can go and worship your boat or your car or that celebrity or gold and silver, but I get to bring pleasure to the omnipotent Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. That was His attitude. You know what He was saying? He was saying, "He sees, I please." That's the relationship. The one who sent me stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. He sees how much joy I take in pleasing Him. And then He continues to say this, that when He put it in these terms, many people decided to believe. As He lived His life of worship, pleasing God, gave incentive to people around Him who were watching Him live His life. It gave them insight into what it means to really know God. It caused them to respond to the invitation to live a similar life of love and relationship with God. And you know what? That in itself is an even higher form of worship, because it pleases God greatly when we motivate others into a relationship with Him. So what's our motivation? Our motivation to live a life of worship? If you want to share the message, if you want to be a messenger, living a life of worship is the strongest way. And we learn that from Jesus. People of the Almighty God, let me reiterate. And if you get nothing else out of this message today, please get this. That worship is a lifestyle. It's a way of living that reflects the attitude, our attitude and value toward God. And again, the best day to worship is not Sunday. It's not Wednesday or Saturday. You know what the best day to worship is? Today. And do you know where the best place to worship is? Not in a church or a conference or at a concert. It's right here and right now, right where you're at any given moment. And do you know what the best way to worship is? Not singing, not speaking in tongues, or even performing miracles. Best way to worship is by employing everything you are and everything you have to bring God pleasure. As people of God, it's so vital to our spiritual lives that we remember this. Because when we choose to worship, when we make an effort to bring God pleasure, that's when He shows up. That's when He resides with us. And it's in His presence that all good things flow. I had people tell me, "Oh man, I wish we could worship all service long. Never mind the message. 5-minute message, enough. Let's worship for 1 hour." And I told them, "Why would you want to do that?" I mean, you got all of eternity after this life is over. He said, because I feel so good when we sing. I get healed when we sing our praise to God. Breakthroughs happen in my life. You know why those things happen? Because God shows up. And when God shows up, everything evil cannot stand. When we passionately purpose to give God worship, not just in singing, but in everything that we do, that's when He shows up. And that's when everything good happens. So this morning, I've compiled 3 points, 3 things to help us remember this, 3 ways, actually, in which to worship our God. Number one is worship live. Worship live. Realize again that every opportunity, every moment is an opportunity for worship. Every second, every breath, every situation is an opportunity to please as He sees. Now, I just mentioned that we can worship anywhere. We can even worship in our cars. And I don't mean by turning on the radio to K-Love or another Christian station and singing along with them. That is, yes, that can be a form of worship. But what I mean is worshiping by the way we choose to drive. And Pastor South should hear that one. Every time we choose to stay under the speed limit, follow the laws, every time you turn on your turn signal, even though nobody else is around, every time you do it right, God takes pleasure in that. Every time we choose to not get or choose to not react in such a way that is demeaning to Him when somebody else cuts us off, that is worship unto Him. We can worship in our cars by the way we choose to do it, by how we react. We can also worship at work, and we can do so without singing one note or preaching one word. In fact, I wouldn't encourage you to do that. Every time we start work on time and work with a diligence that is worthy of God's notice, that's worship. Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not men. Now, that might be a difficult thing to do because, after all, every situation is different. Maybe I'm not inspired, or I don't feel like it, or I don't like working with so-and-so in this certain situation. Let me boldly say this morning, that it has nothing to do with the situation or who is present. It has everything to do with the attitude. And remember that lifestyle reflects attitude. Now, I've known way too many people who are wonderful worship actors. In church and in front of other Christians, they are such amazing worshipers. But in the rest of their lives, not so much. My dad, he once told me this story. They went over to the mainland somewhere in California, and they were at this big box store, and then, you know, everything stacked high, piled high. They're walking down one aisle, and they can hear on the other aisle, one of the workers was asked a question by one of the customers, and man, she laid into him, told him how dumb he was not to know where this certain product was at, and she just kept going off on him. Well, they turned the corner, and she was still giving it to this poor guy. They turned the corner, and they saw that it was a person who had recited, was one of the church members like 5 years ago before she moved to the mainland. And when she saw them, and it was like going from yelling at this person to, oh, hallelujah! And they just shook their head and said, oh my goodness. Worship is not an act. It's not a way to act. Worship is a way to be. Worship is not a performance. Worship is an attitude adjustment. We begin to get to that place where we bring God pleasure when we quit using the language of pride, which is, I know better, for the language of worship, which is, you know better. In the book of Psalms 51, the writer writes, going through the motions does not please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love, don't for one moment escape God's notice. And that's what worshiping live is all about. Giving God glory, doing it all unto Him in a way that brings Him good pleasure. Sacrificing our feelings and allowing our pride to be shattered in any situation or any given moment. That's worshiping live. Number two, worship with life. Worship with life. Because we all know that the most valuable commodity we have is not our house, it's not our boat, it's certainly not the paper money that we use. The greatest commodity we have in this life is life itself. And we break this thing we call life down into increments that we call time so as to be able to manage this life better. Then you know what we do? We go and we make plans and base them on the increments of time, which is called a personal agenda. This is where I am. This is where I want to be in X amount of time, and these are the things I need to do to get there. Make sense? Let me give you a real-time example. Let's say you're sitting right here in church right now, but in a few hours, you want to be sitting on your recliner, feet up, enjoying the Pro Bowl. So what do you need to do to get there? Well, right after church, you got to go KTA, pick up all the poo-poos and drinks. Got to clean up the room so you don't feel guilty while you're watching the game. And then you set up all the snacks and drinks close by so that you don't have to move once your feet go up. Then you can enjoy the game uninterrupted. You know what I'm going to do after this? Master plan. But what if on your way home somebody calls and says, hey, I can really use your help doing this. Of course, you're thinking in the back of your mind, oh, man, I already get plans. And you want to tell them, sorry, but that's something more important to do. Call you up after I'm done. But what if, before you say that, God places it on your heart and he says, today, I really want you, right after this, to go help this guy do this. That's my plan. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. You don't want to fight God in this. Let me just tell you that. But not always easy to do, yeah? But think about your own life. There's your will and your plan and your way. Then there's God's will and God's plan and God's way. Not all the time do they line up together. In fact, very rarely, even in my life, does my plan line up with what God wants. Question is, whose plan is going to prevail? You know what the worshiper says? The worshiper says, not my will, but your will be done. In Mark 8, it says, then Jesus called the crowd to him and with his followers, he said, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want, and they must be willing to even give up their lives to follow me. Again, you know what the worshiper of God asks? Worshiper of God asks, what do you want? What do you want from me in this situation? To change from what do I want to what do you want is an act of faith, knowing that God knows better. And faith pleases God. And again, pleasing God is worship. Most of you know that some 20 years ago, I used to work as a lineman, an electrical lineman at Hawaii Electric. I got to tell you, exhilarating job. Not many jobs in the world where people can say that they touched 13,800 volts and live to talk about it. We used to do that on a daily basis. It was fun. I have a picture of me on my last day working there, where I climbed up a 70-foot pole, and I got to stand at the top of it. They talk about exhilarating. That job was fun. It was gave you a lot of meaning. And the best part about it, paid really well. Now, I always knew, from the time, even before I got that job, I always knew that one day God would call me for at least a season into full-time ministry. And in 2016, beginning of the year, he actually gave me that word. And it was backed up because the elders of the church in Kupala, along with my dad, said they prayed about it. And they wanted me to come on that year. So I want to tell you that it was all hunky dory after that. That I heard God and I was going to follow Him and I would submit to His will. But I tell you, it was hard because I would be taking an 80% pay cut in that. Let alone, you know, giving up my retirement and all those things. And those things played on my mind, and they played on my mind for several months. And I struggled with it. I denied it at some times. But life was a struggle after that for about 6 months, till finally the elders came to me. I sat down with them, and they said, "We want you on board September 1st. Now I had a deadline. And I knew what God wanted me to do. That day, I went and talked to my boss, turned in my resignation to him for, what was that, from June to September. I gave him a lot of time so that they could prepare. But I tell you what, after that day, after I let that go and said, "This is what I'm doing, I'm obeying you," things were wonderful. You ask all the guys, the week after that, they couldn't understand why I was so happy. And then when they heard I was leaving them, they thought that was the reason why. But the reason why was because I had joy in my heart, because I finally took the step to trust God and worship Him in that way. Now, well, let me just say this too. During the 7 years that I worked at the church full time, my family and I never lost weight. In fact, we gained weight. God took care of every need that we ever had because of that faith. Now, I'm not telling you that you got to go quit your job and go into full-time ministry. What I am encouraging you to do is ask God, what do you want? What will please you? And then not just ask, but hear and comply. Yes, it's going to take faith. Yes, it's going to require that you lay down some of your life. But that is what pleases God. And that's called worship. The whole heart behind it is that there will be purposeful intent to give God glory in all that we do. And that we will actually sacrifice our agenda for His. That's worshiping God with life. And then number three, most importantly, worship with love. Worship with love. Because the truth is that there is no way to show someone worth than by a gesture of love. Likewise, there's no single greater way to worship God than by incorporating this point into our very being. You know how I know? Because He said so. Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, Jesus says, a guy comes up to Jesus and asks, "Sir, which is the most important command of all in the laws of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A few weeks after I left that job at Helco, you know, one of the things that I never got to do because I worked there, because average our week over there is 65 hours for a lineman. And I was topping that many times. One of the things I never got to do was spend time with my kids. So a couple of weeks after that, I left that, I got a weekend free. And AJ was about 9 years old at that time. So I took him fishing. And we hadn't gone fishing in a very long time. Because of that, I wasn't very good at it. We weren't catching anything. But I looked at him while he was casting out at one time. And I told him, you know what I love about what I get to do now that I have time? One of the things I love is that I love spending time with you. You know what he did? He put down his pole, came up behind me, and he gave me this great big hug. And I just melted. Didn't matter that I had just sacrificed a great job. Didn't matter that we weren't catching any fish. In that one moment, it was more than enough to know that he loved me. Now, I know it's unfathomable, but we have the power to make God melt in just that same way. To worship him with love, to just spend intimate time with him and let him know how much we love him in every opportunity we get, we can make him melt too. A couple of years ago, above where I live, there's this guy who works with rocks. He grinds them down, and I can hear him. He lives about a mile away, and I can still hear him working from my house, so much noise he makes. But he creates these incredible statues. I call them idols because that's what they look like. And he places them out in his yard, his garden. And, I mean, the work is incredible. But I always looked at him and said, oh, man, you're creating other false gods. And then there was this one morning where it was actually raining, little more than a drizzle. And there he was sitting outside on a chair in between all his gods drinking coffee. And I thought, oh, my goodness, sitting in the rain with your gods, what an idiot. And I started laughing to myself. And just when I made the turn, you know, every time I get arrogant like that towards somebody else, God always shows up. I should know better by now. But when I made the turn, God spoke. And he, you know what he said? He said, at least he sits with his gods. Whew. Talk about soar. I said, I get it, Lord. I get it. You just want me to spend time with you and love you in that way. There's a very true and tangible way to worship him. And it's by loving those that he loves, people. Continuing on in verse 39, Jesus says, the second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Again, in the book of Ephesians, says, you are God's children whom he loves. So try to be like him. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, man, that's hard for me because I wasn't brought up like that. And I don't have the skills. Listen, can you smile? Because if you can smile, then you can love. You'd be amazed at the power of one well-timed smile and what it can do. In fact, I challenge you. The next time you're up on the four-way stop sign on Kawailani and Komohana, smile at the three cars on all sides of you. Watch what that does. Okay? Don't forget that one, okay? Can you shake a hand or be bold enough to give somebody a genuine hug? Because if you can, you can love. Truth is that too many people in this cold world don't get enough meaningful touch. And it's vital to our social well-being. So try it. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Can you speak? Because if you can speak, you can love. By giving somebody an encouraging word, accentuate on their positive. Because in this world, they've been put down enough. These are gestures of love. And if you can do these simple things, then you will have loved people. And you will have worshiped God, who loves them as well. So worship with love. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a way of living, a reflection of our attitude and of our value toward our God. It has little to do with singing or religion, and everything to do with our relationship with our loving Father and bringing Him pleasure. As children of God, it's supposed to be our lives. Amen? So here's the bottom line. We were made to worship. This is God.
Would you thank Pastor Aaron? I wasn't late. Okay, I never just show up, all right? I wasn't sleeping in, all right? Being that I had off this morning, I took the opportunity to go and sit with our youth. Wow, what a bunch of wonderful junior high and high school kids we have. And right now, we're looking for leaders who would step out one Sunday a month and invest in them. Teach them the word of God because they are the future of this church. So if you are willing, because I know I spoke to some of you, you said yes. So if you are willing, let us know because they are so precious. They are so valuable and we would not want them to slip through our fingers. We want to teach them that worship is a lifestyle. Not just we singing on Sundays, but it's a lifestyle. Amen. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.